I am one of you. I've been here and we've been fellowshipping and we've been ministering and praise and worship. I'm no different than what you want here for a Tri-Stone Christian Center. And I am full of stuff to say to you. And I'm so concerned that my wife is not here to pull me and say stop because it's too much. I prayed and that God would give us what we need to move forward. You know, Doug talked about joy, but I pray that as we're in this season, that he gives us what to say this morning and how to say it. I've been praying. I prayed all last year. I remember you guys' last fasting time in 2017. God had wanted me to pray, come to the church and pray. And when things like that happen, there's a point of faith. God wants you to commit to something so that he can do something. So it wasn't so much for God that I was doing that. I was doing that for myself. And so I mentioned that to the pastor last year, and he'd opened it up to everybody to come out and pray, and some of you came. And we were praying every day, 5:15 to about 6 or so, and praying that God would do whatever he needed to do. In that session last year, it was confirmed to me that I was to continue to pray all year. And I prayed all last year. Prayed for myself, for my family. I pray for you. I pray for our church. I pray for your families. I pray for this local body, our community. I pray for Blacksburg, New River Valley. I pray for the surrounding communities. I pray for Virginia. I pray for the United States, our president, our government, our senators, our representatives. I prayed for the world, the church worldwide. And during those times, you say, well, how do you know you do this? Well, I've been blessed to have a prayer language with God. I pray in the Spirit, pray in other tongues, I pray in an unknown language to myself, unto God who knows what I'm praying. And he confirms to me sometimes what those prayers are. And I do that because I know that it does something for us to pray. And so in that prayer time, though, I was about through April, and then God began to say, you need to journal. You need to begin to write things down that I tell you because you have some things that you need to commit to yourself and to me and to begin to make sure that you are praying for. And things that he was just saying to me for you. And I don't know exactly how they're going to come out, you know, but I know that there was those things that I needed to say, that he was giving me to say. First thing this morning, I want to say this. Don't become weary in well-doing. Don't become weary in well-doing. Because if you wait on the Lord, you will receive that which he is promised you. Don't become weary in well-doing. Last year, sometime, I don't remember when, this came to me for you. Don't give up. Don't give in. Stay with Christ and you will win. Don't give up. Don't give in. Stay with Christ and you will win. Let me say it again. Don't give up. Don't give in. Stay with Christ and you will win. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord. Listen here. Guard your heart and stand in faith, and he will give you mercy and grace. Guard your heart and stand in faith, and he will give you mercy and grace. One more time. Guard your heart and stand in faith, and he will give you mercy and grace. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait. Listen here. We, TriStone Christian Center, we're in a transition. What you have been feeling and sensing in your spirit is a transition, no period. Pastor Vince is gone on to heaven. Hallelujah. We will meet him soon. But there was a spiritual authority and a mantle on him that rests for this community, not just for our church. But he, several years ago, laid hands on this man and passed that mantle on to him. It is a spiritual thing that you as Christians must perceive. It is something that you must know in your spirit, not in your flesh, not in your mindset. You have to know it here. You saw the laying of hands. You witnessed it. I didn't. I just perceive it in my spirit. And when I meet and talk with him, I know he has this mantle upon him to carry our church, our local body, into this next phase that God has for us. Anytime that there is an appointment, a person coming in to take over, so to speak, there is what we call a changing of the guard. You know about a changing of the guard? One authority is moved out and another authority is moved in. And in you, there's a little struggle going on, and some shifting and some ups and downs and kinds of things, and there's all kinds of stuff that can happen if your eyes are not set on spiritual things. As Christians, you are called to do that. Holy Spirit, show me things to come. He will show you things to come, and he will definitely direct you into all truth. But there in that transition, in our physical bodies, it sometimes feels uncomfortable. The boat gets a little rocky. The waves get a little rough. And some of us are tossed to and fro. Some of us are tossed out of the boat. No. And we're hanging on with ropes. And those of us who are throwing out lifesavers, and some are tossed out and we don't see them again. This is why this is a time for prayer. Every last one of you are called to pray. Pray for the church. Yes, but pray for you, that you don't become weary in well-doing. Lord, keep my focus on what I'm supposed to do. Don't let me get outside of my lane. Deb, Julie, stand up. The Spirit of the God says, there is an assignment that I have placed upon you. It is your job to lead my people into the presence of God. To lead my people into the presence of God. It is not your job. to help them, to make them, to force them into my presence. You are to lead them. You lead them by going into the presence of God yourself. That is the call. That is the assignment of God placed on you. There is no other thing that I've called you to do. This is the freedom in the assignment. This should let the worry pass away. This should let the doubt that you sense go away, because I just need for you to come into my presence. Take the songs and the worship that I've given you and lead them. It's their job to follow. You can sit down. It is your job to follow the leader. What? It's your job. And to stay in your lap. Lord, help me to follow. Because in this transition, and I have been given many, many analogies. Oh my God, I can't give them all to you. One of them is that there's a train coming, and it's on the track, and it's moving at a high speed of direction, at a high speed down this track, and then all of a sudden, it starts to slow down. We all sense the slowdown. We know, oh, something's slow. Why are we slowing down? There's a curve coming up. And in order to make the curve, we gotta slow down the train so that it can make that turn that it needs to make. You say, oh, is that what, that's what you're feeling. And some of you have decided that because we're slowing down, there's something wrong. Get yourself in the Spirit of God. Get on your knees and begin to pray, God, put me in the place where I need to be. Let me hear what you are saying, what you are doing. At any time, and let me give this to you as a nugget for your Christian life. And there's some of you who've been saved probably longer than I have been alive. Whenever there is trouble, whenever you sense trouble in your spirit, whatever it is, whatever, if it's trouble coming from your children, or trouble coming from your job, or trouble coming from the stuff all around, trouble coming from the church, trouble coming from what the pastor said, trouble coming from something somebody else said to you, your job, and my message is on this, is to pray. That's what your job is. Why do you say pray? I'm going to get into that. Prayer is important. Prayer is important for us, especially when our country is going in directions that we don't want it to go. It is our job as the church to pray. That's what God tells us to do. He doesn't tell us to do a whole lot more. Now, some of us, you know, he said, go protest, go blah, 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 go write letters, blah, blah, you know, you do that, what God tells you to do. But our main job is to pray. Get on our knees. Go before our Heavenly Father, because of what? They've already said it this morning. He knows all. He knows what's going on. And as his children, he wants to connect us with that. Why? To give us peace, to give us joy, to let us know that, hey, it may be turbulent, but you can have peace during this time. That you can still know that I am in control of what's happening. And he'll give that peace to you so that you can then do what with it? So you can encourage other people. Because they're going to say things to you that is going to be evident that they are not praying. And their peace has left them. And we are, as peace givers, are those people who are reconcilers of peace between man and God. We need that peace. The peace that passes all understanding. The peace that says, how can you be doing this kind of things when this is happening and that is happening? I was praying one day and the Lord said, why are you letting the innocent die? And I said, I'm not letting any innocent people. He said, but you're not praying for the children who are being slain by abusers who are abusing them. You are not covering them with prayer. You are the ones that are in authority. It is my church who is in charge in Blacksburg. Why aren't you praying? I changed my attitude and I began to pray. You say, pray what? Well, God's got angels all about. Wherever those evildoers are, Father, bring their curse upon themselves. Let not one, another innocent soul perish because we didn't pray. They can't pray for themselves because they don't know God. Their parents didn't know God. And sometimes it's the parents that's doing the reveling, the evil that's coming to them. How can we interject ourselves in between those things? As people of God, I'm telling you, our job is to pray. So we're in a transition. And you say, well, stop. I'm going to tell you what God tells me. Stop looking back. Got to look forward. There's a vision that's already before us. I may not like the vision. I might not can't even see it clearly or plainly, but my job is to pray. God, help me make this transition right, especially if he's called you to this body. God, help me. Give me a clear part of what I'm supposed to do. Make it right for me so that I can have joy and continue on this journey. Now, this train, we think, is on a certain level in this turn. But it's not. It's going up. It's going up, and there's a curve. And some of us, you know, we're sitting in a chair and we've got this feeling. What? I used to be able to sit up straight, but now, what's happening? There is something happening. There's a transition. We are going to another level. God needs you. If you're part of this body, he needs you. He needs you and I to pray. There is such an excitement. I'm telling you, when you come, you don't have to come if you don't want to, but when you come and pray, it's just the point of contact for me. It's to let me know that give my focus on, that I'm here for a reason, that I have a directive from the Holy Ghost. That's why I come. You say, well, you don't feel anything, and you don't sense the presence of God sometimes, and you know, sometimes you come and people are laying on the floor and there's no sound, and you know, everything's so quiet, and you know, that's all natural stuff. Get yourself in the Spirit. You are born again, born of the Spirit of God. You ain't born of the flesh no more. You're born of God. He is a spiritual being, one that is all powerful and mighty. My God, get yourself in the right place. Stop worrying about all that stuff that's going on in the natural. Shake it off. Shake it down. Come on, pull yourself up so we can go into this next level that God wants us to go. So you want to know what's going on, that's what's going on. So now it's up to you whether you're going to join or whether you're going to unjoin, or whether you're just going to sit back and for the ride, because God does allow us to do that. Because he loves you. He does. He said, oh, you just want to sit back and not do anything? Go ahead. If you want to sit back and complain, I'm telling you now, in the spirit realm, you're going to be seeing me face to face. Because I am talking to you. If you're complaining about something that's going on and you don't like it, I guarantee you, you're going to see my face. You're going to see my face, and I'm going to be going, she ta to ina jonabakahista. Get in the spirit. Get some joy. The joy that God promised you. Get it. What do you mean he promised you that joy? All right. Let me get on and stop meddling with you. Get to my message. You know, I'm telling you, I am so full of stuff that God wants me to share with you. I'm telling you. Now, what time we usually go?
Four. Just three minutes.
1:30, 2 o'clock, something like that. Okay. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel to let you know how God can work in mysterious ways. Me and Sherry were sitting around our kitchen table, and we used to do that during a Sunday, and we talk, blah, blah, blah. And the paper, the newspaper was sitting there, and there's a section of the newspaper that has a little Bible trivia. And I said, oh, there's Bible trivia there. So I began to start 5 questions. And usually it's answered by, I think it was Billy Graham's ministry or something like that. But anyway, there were 5 questions there. The first question said, in the Bible, who is Elkanah? Anybody know who Elkanah is? Who? Oh, right. I got to it because I was like, I don't know who Elkanah is. Who is Elkanah? I was like, Lord, have mercy. Let me go find my Bible. And find out who Elkanah is. So as I began to read about Elkanah in 1 Samuel, Elkanah is Samuel's father. Now, do we know who Samuel is? Samuel is the prophet, the last prophet, the prophet who ordained for Judah or Israel to have kings. So this message this morning, I'm going to just take you through some of the wild things that the Spirit of God, just, I thought they were wild. You may think they're okay. And you may have, he may have ministered this to you already. I say, thank God, that's an agreement and confirmation for me. So, Elkanah, 1 Samuel. There was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the hill country of Ephraim named Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tuhu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. Now, it's interesting that this place, Ramathaim Zophim, the two heights of the Zophites, or it's called the place of the watchers in this land. It's the Levitical families of Kohath and Zoph and Zaphai and them were living here. This is also the birthplace of Samuel. This is where he, some say that these are where the two cities of Amathea in the New Testament was also part of this place. So Elkanah means, in Hebrew, it's a baby name, and it means God has created. Ephraim, and you remember Ephraim, he's an Ephraimite, and the meaning of Ephraimite is to bear fruit or be fruitful. I'm sharing that too because we'll get to some meaning later. Second verse, Elkanah had 2 wives. Bless his soul. One named Hannah and the other named Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Now Hannah's name means grace. And Peninnah means she's a pearl or precious stone. So I went about this in my study of 1 Samuel. And, you know, it's just so interesting. You know, let me read this story, which I've read before. I said, but as I began to read it again, it began to sound different. Verse 3, this man went up from the city each year to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh. Shiloh means peace. Hophni and Phinehas, his 2 sons, or the 2 sons of Eli, were priests to the Lord there. So Eli at the time was the prophet, the priest who was the ruling prophet or ruling priest in the land at the time. He had 2 sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Verse 4, when the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions of the sacrificial meat to Peninnah, his wife, and all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, because he loved Hannah. But the Lord had given her no children. Verse 6, Hannah's rival provoked her bitterly to irritate and embarrass her because of the Lord had left her childless. So let's picture Hannah. She's a wife of Elkanah. She's barren. She doesn't have any children. And here is Peninnah, who has children, is provoking her bitterly. You ain't got no children. I got all the children. Look at me, I'm blessed. I get portions of the priest's field. You know, but Hannah got a double portion. Something in Hannah caused Peninnah to provoke her. They're in the same house. They are living together. She had to see this woman every day. No doubt, she would ask this woman, hey, I gotta go to the market. Can you take care of a little so-and-so-so? Can you babysit my children? Even though I'm provoking you, making you feel bad that you ain't gotten it. Down further, he talks about Peninnah being her enemy in the same house. So you gotta think, Elkanah, he's gotta know, right? He's gotta know that these two women are fighting. Something's going on with them. Is she jealous? Is Peninnah, who has what Hannah wants, jealous of Hannah? What does Hannah have? What does Hannah have? Well, somebody say, oh, yeah, it's the love, the love of her husband. I was like, well, okay, that might be, I think he turns his hand though a little bit in the next verse, but I'm gonna go through this for you so we can see a little bit about what's going on with Hannah. Are there always people around you who seem to be jealous of you, but they seem to have the thing that you want? Why can't they just be happy with what you would have given anything to have? But we remember that Hannah had Elkanah's love, right? Probably more than Peninnah. She could have been jealous of how Elkanah treated Hannah. Peninnah could have saw the favor from Elkanah that was on Hannah's life. She could have said, well, I want him to treat me like that. But it could have been he was treating her because she didn't have no children. Oh. Also, Peninnah called Hannah's rival who provoked her. Two women who shared the same husband were enemies. Notice that God did not come to Hannah's aid. Even though all the conditions were right for her to be blessed. She is called favor and grace. Every time somebody says Hannah, they're saying grace, favor, Hannah, grace, favor. And she has to listen to that and go, I ain't got no children. Grace, you're favored of God, but I ain't got no children. You're blessed, you're favored, I ain't got no children. She's hearing this every time her name is called. She's married to a man, Elkanah is called. His name means God has created. She is married to a man whose name, we're trying to say God creates. God is created. They say Elkanah, and she's his wife, and he's going, favor and grace to create. Why don't I have a baby? What is going on? She lives in a land that is called fruitful and bears fruit. Ephraim is called the land where it bears fruit. Can you see something going on here? What is going on? Everything around her is pointing to something's wrong with Hannah, something's wrong with Hannah, something's wrong with Hannah. Oh, Hannah, you're in the blessed place. Everything around you, it'd be something different than, if she was in the land of distress and despair and caught down and built, bummed out. She could then say, okay, I relate to that because I ain't got no kids. But no, everything around her is screaming, you should be favored. You should be blessed. She's going up to the temple and it's called peace when it's shallow. God does not respond to her until two conditions are met. And you'll see this in the next couple of verses. I'm going to give you the two conditions ahead of time. She prays to God. She lays out her petitions. And then God answers her, and he answers her through the man of God. Verse number 7. So it happened year after year, year after year. Think about this. This is what's going on year after year. Whenever she went up to the house of the Lord, Peninnah provoked her. So she wept and would not eat. So she's just in despair. She can't even eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, look what he said. She's gone up year after year, and he says this, why do you cry and why do you not eat? Wait a minute. This is his wife. He's kept him. He doesn't know what's going on in his house. Does he not know? Why are you so sad and discontent? Now, this is how he does know. Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Uh-oh. He does know that she is lamenting over not having a child. She's just bent out of shape. Now, let me connect this for those of you who don't want to go over in the spirit with me. So there is something that she's praying for that she needs from God, right? She wants something to happen for her. Now, in her case, it's a baby. But it could, for you, it could be a gift of God. It could be a blessing. It could be an answer to prayer. It could be literally anything that you can get from God. Anything that you're in despair over, anything that you're having trouble over right now, this is what it could be for you. It could be those questions that you have already put forth to God about what's happening to me in this transition. Elkanah is a witness of her discontent, and in this particular year, he happens to. And I said, what happens to all the other years? And how many years was it that she went without children and Peninnah rationed her that he saw? Elkanah knows her discontent because he says, am I not better to you than 10 sons? So he knew her despair was because she had no children. This is also could have been why he loved her more than Peninnah. He saw that children was taken away from his time with her. So while Hannah didn't have any, he was her sole focus. So he could have been selfish in this little twist thing, couldn't he? I'm not going to help you pray, Hannah. I'm not going to remove you from this situation because I like it. How many people are like that? Oh, while you're this way, I get this. While you were just in, feeling down and trying and whatever, it seems to work out better for me when you're not going over there praying and worshiping the Lord. Are there people like that? Sure they are. So Hannah got up after eating and drinking in Shiloh, and she did something. She could have complained about Peninnah, right? You don't see that in the Word of God. She could have created a more hostile environment in her family between her and Elkanah, her and her husband. You don't see her doing that. She instead recognized that the issue was hers and hers alone to handle. How many times do we push off what's bothering us onto others? Is it because of them that I am sad or lack, or I lack this? This is because of this person or that person or what they said or this person said, or it's because of the pastor, he's not doing this or he's not doing that. Our country is in the shape it is because, our president, our senators, and our congressmen, some of us say that. Should not we take responsibility for what lies within our own power to change? When will we, as Christians, begin to use the power and authority that God has given us and pray to change our circumstances? Get that? Some of us don't want to pray. We want somebody else to pray. Eric, you pray. You're the man of God. We're paying you. Don't we pay you? I don't see that in the Bible where we pay him. Now, we give money to God. And yes, there are some of us who have authority over, that portion or have a job to do, but we pay him to pray for us. You got to come to grips with this. Do we pay the man of God? to do stuff for us. Some of you are going, yeah, we pay. You do not, your money is not connected to him. He is connected to God. The payment that he receives is connected because we prayed and said, okay, God, we were looking for agreement from you to what to give him as he labors in his life for the congregation. As he pours out his soul to get food from heaven to share with us. If, and I know some of you guys are going to just jump, you know, just don't jump on him, come jump on me. If you connect your money to paying him, on then you have decided that this is the way God has chosen, and God, you can't prove that out of the word of God. God says, give your money to me. Your money belongs to me. Whatever sustenance, whatever way you do it, it comes unto me. Yes, it does provide things. It does pay for lights. It does do electricity. It does give the pastors to them a home for them to live in. But you give your money to God. Because the blessing, remember, is not going to come directly from the pastor. The blessing comes from God. If you think the blessings come from the pastor, Lord Jesus, you need to just move in with him then.
Please don't be
that. I'm paying you. Let's go to prayer. Oh, Eric, I got this thing on. You got to do blah, 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 blah. I guess oh, this thing on my job. Eric, you got to blah, blah. You got to do. He'll kill over. That burden is too heavy a weight for any man. That's why it's God's burden. That's why we give it to him. That's how we operate as Christians. It's because I'm going to pray. Well, if I need Eric to do something, I'm going to pray. Because the Father, who will recognize that if I need Eric to do something, will get him to do what I need. This is how you are fed every Sunday. He labors in prayer. We are praying. Things are going on. You may have something that, man, I don't understand this scripture. Or you may have something going on where you need an answer to prayer. He gives the word to this man of God. He spreads a banquet of tables of food before. Some of it is really, really light and simple, and some of it is really, really heavy. There's meat and, you know, potatoes, and there's juices. Some of them for you healthy guys, there's vegetables and fruit and stuff all on this table. And it's up to you to come up and feast from the word of God that is placed in him. There's no way that he can feed 60 people and just have all this stuff going on and not you do that. Case in point. How many of you were blessed by what the Spirit of God said to Julie and Deb? Were you blessed by that? Some of you are not here. Well, this is how it works. You know, it may be specifically the word for one person, but others are also blessed in it. There are things that go on in the Word of God where you receive from. It is your job to do that. When you leave this body, when he's spoken, you have to choose that thing. Take it home. Sometimes you got to chew on it. It's what the Spirit of God says. Because he'll say something, and I know it happens all the time. It'll spark a time. He said that word. You know, for me on this particular Sunday, it was Elkanah. Who is Elkanah? And it just got caught in my spirit. I had to find out who Elkanah was. It happens like that for all of you. It can happen during praise and worship. A song that comes forth and a phrase that is given out. And it can get stuck in you and like, oh, that felt so good. I need to chew on that a little longer. I'm going to take that home and I'm going to bask it in prayer some more. I'm going to let it settle into my spirit because the Spirit of God knows what's coming. He's trying to prepare you for the next thing. There are some of you, I can look at your faces and I know things have happened to you. You got caught up in something. There was an accident. There was a trouble. There was a financial thing. You guys who were at the women's meeting, remember Roslyn that came to hear the word from Sherry? Her and her husband owned a CPA business. Last year, they got hacked. What? That apparently last year was the year to be CPA people all got hacked. A lot of people got in the IRS and everybody got involved. But, you know, her testimony was that, wait a minute, I am of the house of the Spirit of God. I belong to Jesus. And I'm not going to let him steal what God has given to me. She stood up, and her husband and her stood up in the face of all that stuff. There were lawyers and insurance people, and there were people trying to sue them and all kinds of stuff. What happened? There's a word that comes that prepares your soul to stand. You got to hear it. Sunday after Sunday you've come. You've heard it. Sunday after Sunday, service after service you come. You've heard the word. I don't feel like standing. I'm so tired. Don't become weary in well-doing. Come on, take the word, stand. Because you're about to rise to the next level. This body is going to the next level. The things that need to take place in each of you that is going to propel us into this next realm where God wants us to be. You can't stay the same. That's what I'm saying. You say, well, what do I need that? Yeah, you need to kind of get a hold of yourself. Get a hold of yourself and start, you know, when you can, I'll say this. I don't want you to think too far back on this, but you can remember things that happened in the past where things were moving and things were good and what you were doing, you know, as you're part of that. So those things are gone. There's a new thing coming. I can't do the same things I was doing back then for this thing. I got to do something else. I got to get that from the Spirit of God. What is that I need to do? Seek the heart of God. I'm saying it's prayer. Now, well, I'm saying that because, why am I saying that? Because that's what God has told me, okay? He may tell you something else. But we all need to begin to realize what's going on. What verse am I in now? So Hannah got up after eating and drinking in Shiloh, and I was telling you that, oh, she could have complained, but she didn't. She could have pointed her finger. She could have said, when she prayed, she could have said, oh God, just kill Peninnah. Just knock her down. Just take her children and just get her. What? Come on. You know you feel like that sometimes. Somebody's egging you on, or you know, when your job is always bothering you. You know, you look at her and say, Father, make them fall down the steps. What? You think it's funny? Where's your mind? Your mind was on that situation, and you're praying to God to do something that's really not something you know. He's not going to do that. But we hate to do the thing that you hate to pray the thing that we want him to do, which is, Father, please save their life. Help me to give me something so that I can invite them to church. I had a coworker like that. Every time I saw him, Curtis, you were just so unprofessional. I don't like what you're doing. You need to leave. Every day I saw him. I did my best to stay away from him. Yeah. And then when I got to this point, I said, when I began to pray for him, I'll tell you this one instance, and then you do it what you want. He came to my office, he came to my desk, and I was kind of standing. I said, yeah, what can I do for you? He started yelling and screaming about blah, 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 blah. Boy, he was just tearing me down one another. And I remember thinking in the back of my head, boy, if I had a bat right now, I'd drop him outside. But the Spirit of God told me this. Don't say a word. So I didn't say anything. He's yelling. I'm not saying. He said, sit down. So I sat down in my seat. He sat down. His voice lowered. And then he began to talk really very, you know, cohesive. And I began to understand what his problem was. We began to talk and we were able to handle his issue. But I tell you, my flesh wanted to take that bat and give him a whomp or two. After that incident, the Spirit of God said, you need to see and perceive his heart. Because he's in need of Jesus. Before he left, he retired before I did. from the library, and he came to me, he called me to his office, and I said, ooh, no. And sat me down, he handed me a tract. He said, you know, I was at church the other night. There was a man of God there. And he began to talk about Jesus. You know, and I got saved. Oh, and I want to thank you. Because I know I've been bad and terrible to you, and I want you to forgive me for all the things that I said to you. There was no words. I got up, I hugged him. I said, oh my God. The things that Jesus can do when we do our part.
Amen.
Saved his life. I mean, he's testifying to me. You need to come to church. Come on. God, hallelujah. Now, Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord, right? Hannah was greatly distressed, and she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. She made a vow saying, oh, Lord of hosts, if you would indeed look on the affliction and the suffering of your maidservant and remember and not forget your maidservant, what will give your maidservant a son, then I will give to the Lord all the days of his, give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and the razor shall never touch his head. Look at her prayer, y'all. First thing I want you to recognize is she calls herself the maidservant of the Lord. She reminded herself, Steve, she said, I belong to you. God, I'm yours. That's why she didn't attack Elkanah or Peninnah. She knew that her business was with God. It wasn't Peninnah that was keeping her from having children, or Elkanah. They weren't the ones that were in the way. She knew that her blessing was going to come from God. Her answer was going to come from him. But then she said something very interesting. Now, this is a secret, I think, in prayer. She says, when you give me the thing that I most wholeheartedly want for, that I'm in anguish over, I'm going to give it back to you. How many of you are in that place? Lord, I want you to save my son. I want you to just take away all the stuff. I know. I hear you. I want you to do that. But what happens? We don't give them back to the Lord. She said, all the days of life. Now, she knew something about that. And the thing that she knew, as we go on further down here, you'll see that she knew that if she gave it back to the Lord, it'd be like planting the seed back to him, and she was going to get more of what she wanted, more children. I want an understanding from God about the Spirit. I want to understand why we need to pray in the Spirit, why we need to pray in tongues. I want to understand why we need to flow in the gifts. God, he gives you one thing. I'm going to give that back to you, God. I'm only going to do it when you say it. I'm only gonna move, Father, when you profusely and accurately and precisely say something to me about it. I'm not gonna do all this crazy stuff. And so you begin to function like God says. Some of it is keep your mouth shut. Listen. When you begin to do that, then God begins to open up doors for you. You got to understand that this is all a spiritual thing. Yeah, we walk in the natural, and I have a body, and my spirit is inside here. But my focus should always be on, Father, what are we doing today? Answer me, Father God, like you answered Hannah. She was so in anguish in her prayer, and I know it's getting late. She's so in anguish over a prayer that she begins to say, Eli says, you drunken. When he looked at her, her mouth was moving, but no words were coming out. So he thought she was drunk. But she was in such anguish. Remember, she tells him, I'm in such anguish and despair. No words were coming. Have you ever been there? Troubled so much that you just don't know what words to say. But I was. But it's interesting. Have you ever felt like you were drunk though? Drunk with despair and anguish. How concerned are you about the thing that you want to know from God? How much do you want the thing that you want? Is it hitting you in that way? I think sometimes we choose so lightly. Well, I'm gonna just pray. I'm gonna pray this one night, and I pray this one time. And if God doesn't do it tomorrow, then I'm gonna go ahead and go do whatever I need to do. And God is like, go ahead. Do you really want the thing? I want to be healed. I don't want to go to the doctor. So you pray, pastor lays hands on you, congregation lays hands on you. No healing. What are you going to do? I mean, because it's really up to you. What are you going to do? Are you in despair over it? Or you just say, oh, I can just go to the doctor. I don't really have to get the healing from God. I can just go to the doctor and do it. We are in a transition. God has taken us to another level. You have got to get yourself in line with what God is doing. If you need to leave, I see some of you shifting. You go ahead and leave. I got one more point I need to make, I believe, before I'm done. If you can hold on that long, I appreciate it. If not, you can just go ahead and get up and go. I'm not going to say nothing about it. You know, you can get the tape and hear it later. But here he is. He said, she is in such despair, she is silent in her prayer. She wants this thing bad. Now, something else I guess you could say that's happening here is that God is really the only one that can do this for her. Do we treat the things that we want from God in that way? Well, God, I don't want it from anybody else. I only want it from you. Do we say that? Do we say, I only want this from God? God, I'm a Christian, dog, bite it. The blood of Jesus lives in my life and reigns. What's up? I'm not going. You said, forgive me. This is me. This is Curtis. Don't you do it. Unless God tells you to. I heard myself say, I'll die on this floor before I get it any other way. My sister said that. And she is home with the Lord. She had brain cancer. And she said, you know what? I'm going to die here in this chair, in this bed, or else I won't be healed. And she would only be with the Lord. So that can happen. But man, she is in a better place, right? We could be joking. Yeah, but when do we get determined in our walk with God that these things are important to him? What you need from him is important. We can see what happens to Hannah. You know, God gives her a child. Well, Eli speaks to her, says, hey, okay, I didn't see that you were praying, but God spoke it to me. You're going to have the petition of your heart. She wipes her face off. And I know, because I know she was probably fasting or something like that. And she gets up and she's joyous and she goes home because she knows that she's going to have the answer to her petition. She got her answer from God through the man of God. Don't happen always like that. For us as Christians, we should have a direct pipeline to him. And we should be praying, God, confirm your word in me. Let me hear your voice. Let me hear you say it. Give me your word. You should be praying that word comes to you, that you can then do and go on your way, because God has said that I'm going to give you the thing that you've asked for. And then, of course, you're going to have to do your vow and give it back. I offer it back. Well, it's all his anyway. Amen. I'm all of his. He's all of mine. So what is it that we want? We want to make sure that we are praying because that is our avenue, our inroad, our connection to our Heavenly Father, to do those things that we need to do and to direct us into this next phase that God has for us. I thank you for listening to me. I pray that you've heard this. There's plenty more. This year, doing the prayer and fasting, the 10 days, the 21 days, the first day, God gave me this, and I want to share this with you this so you know how I'm praying in this 21 days. He said that he's going to establish in us the five pillars. The first pillar is the line of praise and worship in the presence of God. We've got to have praise and worship in the presence of God. We're going to this next level. The second pillar is prayer. My house should be a house of prayer. The prayer of the righteous avails much, makes power available to do what? To do whatever you're praying for. God said that. Your prayer makes power available. Amen. This house will be a house of prayer. Third pillar, that this place will be a pool of healing. That means that people that walk through those doors, that the atmosphere changes. And they immediately know that something's up. And all they have to do is use their faith to pull from the Spirit of God what they need in their body. Pool, he said pools of healing. Pools of healing. The gifts of healing would take residence in our church. The moving of the gifts of the Spirit, fourth pillar, that we as a body understand and know and begin to use what God has given us. And those gifts are moving prevalent throughout our body. Moving of the gifts of the Spirit, be in operation in our church. The fifth thing, the expounding of the Word of God. We can't do anything without that foundation. God will bring to us the understanding that we need in order to move to this next level. Amen? Amen. Okay. I struggle with saying some of this to you because I don't know how you're going to take it. I don't know. Before Eric came, I had a meeting with Pastor Vince. And it was before I had started the church that I was pastoring. He told me in that meeting that he said that he was looking for someone to take on his mantle, to move the church on to the next level. And as I sat there and listened to him, I mean, his heart was just full of knowing what he was going to do. And I had was sitting there. I was looking for advice from him because I was going to be starting a church. And I was asking him about it. And he shared that with me. And we agreed in prayer because I knew he needed, his heart was crying out for someone. And we agreed that he would have someone, that someone would come forward for him. And meeting Eric, I want you to know, this is the man. Not in the physical, but in the spirit. Amen. This is the man that God has anointed for you, for us. He may be young in the natural, but you know, what does age have to do with the spirit of God, the spirit of things? We are all same age in the spirit, matter of fact. Do you guys realize that? There's no age there. We're all the same. And that from the first one who's born again to the one who's been born again for a lifetime. And I hesitate to say that, but I wanted you to know that I knew a little bit about what Vince's heart was. That's why I wanted to share that. And that he was not a man of what's the word? He was not a word that was flippant with his words. Vince was not. He didn't just go say a bunch of stuff. You know, you have some people that do that, say a bunch of stuff. But he was not. And I remember the seriousness that he looked at me and said that when we prayed about what was going on with him for his next step. And I want you to know, you and I, not because of Vince, but because of the Holy Ghost, because of God, we're in the right place. We just need to get ourselves on to the next level. We're in the curve. I want to keep saying that because I want you to make a decision today. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or anything like that, but I'm encouraging you. Let's make a decision to go to the next level. Let's see what God has for us. Let's hitch our caboose, or you want to call it, our train, our part of the doings, our positions, our whatever. Let's hitch it to the man of God, and let's go to the next level. Let's see the thing that God wants. Let's see the change that's coming. I'm telling you, there are great things. I've seen some stuff. I just gave you those five pillars. That's some stuff. That's the stuff we've seen. We're praying. We're fasting. We're here at 5:15 every day. Every day during this 21 days. That includes Saturday and Sunday. We'll be back here at 5:15 today. We'll be praying. You don't have to come. I'm encouraging you to come. Let's pray. Let's get God's into the workings and all in agreement, and let's go to the next level. Amen. Stand to your feet. I want to pray for you. I thank you for listening today. So how many of you know anything about the fivefold ministry of God? Apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, did I miss one? Prophets. We need them in our church. This man is a pastor. He has a pastor's anointing. That anointing gives us supernatural things. But those other gifts as well gives us stuff that we need. And we need for those, some of you operate in that, those things. You don't know it yet. But you do. We need to hear your voice. We need you to encourage us, to encourage one another. We need that. Because this place where we're going, you talking about the people that's gonna bust down this door, these doors. You think, you know, oh, we're nice and comfortable here right now. That's great. There's a time coming we're not gonna be comfortable. There are gonna be so many people here, and some of you are gonna wonder what's going on. We need your help. Pray. We need your help. Pray. God is calling us to pray.